Welcome to episode 98 of the Movie Brats podcast. I am Carter, and joining me, as always, is Jonathan. How are you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing well. We're going to catch up with some films that technically all three of them came out in 2023, are foreign language films, but all three of them came out in very limited release, like I think maybe just New York and LA for 1 week to qualify for awards. And then open more widely in the first few months of 2024. Two of them were nominated actually for Oscars for Best International Feature Film. And one was the country's submission and did not get nominated, but all three were very well reviewed. Would you like to rattle off the titles of these three films, or are we going to go one by one and leave
let's
people
go,
anticipating?
Let's go one by one and leave them hanging until the very end. So we're
they'll see it on the
on the title
of the episode. I know.
Well, if for audio people only who don't want to read, maybe they'll be surprised by the end.
The
we are going
who blindly
to
click and don't look.
Exactly. We will start with Perfect Days, directed by Wim Wenders, who has previously directed Paris, Texas, Wings of Desire, and The American Friend, among many other movies. It stars Koji Yakusho and Tokio Imoto. The film follows a few days in the life of Hirayama, who works as a public toilet cleaner in Tokyo. It originally premiered last year on May 25th at the Cannes Film Festival and was released wide in the U.S. on February 7th, 2024. It has a Metacritic score of 80 and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 96. This was kind of a funny one for Best Foreign Language Feature because in many ways it is a Japanese film, but was directed by a German film director. And I think Wim Wenders is well known as one of the great directors of city movies. And how would you think this matches up with his previous efforts, Jonathan?
Well, I was going to say it's interesting that he has done really acclaimed narrative films and documentaries, but this is by far his best reviewed narrative film in like nearly 30 years. I mean, it's surprising. He's done Oscar nominated, really acclaimed documentaries, including one also came out last year, Anselm, which he did in 3D. I saw his film Pina about the choreographer dancer Pina Bausch, which is one of the greatest 3D films I've ever seen. He did one called Salt of the Earth. But like his last five movies that were narrative films got like really bad reviews, like red ratings on Metacritic, like under a 40 on Metacritic.
Oh, wow.
He did a movie called Submergence with, Alicia Vikander and,
James McAvoy.
And he did one that had James Franco and Charlotte Gainsbourg. He shot in 3D. So I don't know what happened. He was doing these really wonderful documentaries, but like for the last 25 plus years, I think most critics think he hasn't done very many notable narrative films, but this one was a really lovely movie. It's kind of an interesting companion piece with some of his other movies. He has this called the Road Trilogy that he did in the 70s, films like Alice in the City, and one called Kings of the Road, I think, are two of the most notable films. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's also interesting that the film that won the Oscar this year at the Oscars was a UK film, a UK director, but most of it's in German. So the Academy has become much more international in that you have directors from certain countries directing films in other languages that aren't from their country. Wenders has had this connection to Japan for many decades, and he talked about in an interview that he had not been aware of Ozu as a director, and then he saw some of his most famous films like Tokyo Story, and he became like his go-to director, like his muse, his favorite filmmaker. And he's been going to Japan and Tokyo for many decades now, multiple times a year. And this is like a slice of life movie. I
Oh
mean,
yeah.
on paper, it doesn't sound that thrilling. And it's
No.
not like a thrilling movie, but it's just a really lovely little movie about what life can be like. You know, someone can be just a toilet cleaner, someone that most people would pass by on the street and not give a second thought. You see that sometimes in the film, you know, people, you know, rushing to go to the bathroom, or, you know, there's even and the main character doesn't even say anything hardly for like what, the first 40 minutes of the movie.
Basically, no.
And
It
there's a
becomes kind of
little,
like a joke in the movie that his coworker is like, this guy never talks.
I know, it's like one of the few times he talks at all in the first 40 minutes of the movie is when this little boy is seemingly lost. He's in one of the bathrooms, and he helps him unite him with his mother, and the mother just takes him away quickly and like quickly sanitizes his hand. But yeah, it's just it's a really just nice little movie. It's wryly funny, and it has a great soundtrack, which
Great
the character,
soundtrack.
the guy has in his he's also like us, big fan of
Yeah.
physical media.
Yes, I
Even
very
though,
much thought of that during the movie.
yes, but cassette tapes, and as our VHS tapes, not the best thing, but it's
No.
hard to have a vinyl record in a moving vehicle.
Yes. And obviously, he wasn't big on CDs, as we could tell.
Right. He doesn't even know what Spotify is. He talks about going to a store to get Spotify or something. But yeah, he's the lead actor in this film won Best Actor at Cannes for his performance. And he's one of those actors that if you go and look at his IMDb, he's been in so many films in the last like 30 years, you know, you would recognize him from multiple films. But it just feels so real and lived in. It doesn't feel like, you know, a big movie star. You know, it's in a weird way, it reminds me of like Delphine Seyrig doing Jean Dielman, where it's like you have this really notable actor from their country, and they're playing just the most mundane, normal, not boring, but just very normal
Yes.
person. But yeah, I very much enjoyed this film.
I did too. I mean, it very much sort of introduces you to its own tempo and the kind of world that it's depicting. It starts very sort of quietly. Aside from the soundtrack, you really don't have much score or even really sort of sound effects. It's very much the sound of the city is a big part of the sound design. And it starts you off sort of getting in rhythm with his routine. Like he almost does the same thing every day, enjoying his book at night and going to work very early in the morning. And sort of halfway through, a kind of like change is introduced where his niece, who has run away from home, comes and visits him. And I very much enjoyed the scenes with them together. I thought that was my favorite part of the movie. It introduced, not necessarily like a complication to his life, but I guess you could describe it that way. But he has a very sort of regimented, planned out way of living, and very simple, not a lot of interaction with other human beings. But I really like the relationship with the niece and the sort of dialogue they had between each other. And there's a great scene where his sister comes back and sort of confronts him about the way he's living his life, and he doesn't really have an answer for it. So yeah, a great, would you call this a character study or maybe
It's
something
a
different than
character
that?
study, and it's also like a city film. It's a seeing a character in his surroundings, and like it's a word you could use, also connecting it to Jean Dielman. It's like his quotidian. It's like a lot of the first, you know, 40 minutes of the movie is just watching him do things, doing
Yeah.
his job, living his life.
And doing his
And when
job
it's,
very well and like taking it very seriously. It reminds me of like that
yes,
quote about like anything can be an art if someone is good enough at it. And he
right.
certainly brings an art to the way he, cleans these toilets, which are beautiful. I think that was like the inception of the idea is that there's something called the Tokyo Toilet Project, where artists design kind of interesting looking public toilets. And I think Wenders was approached to make a series of short films or something about this, and he decided he wanted to make a feature film about a character who cleans these. So it's even just like seeing the public toilets was kind of interesting because they're so unique and colorful and like, very much not what I'm used to seeing when I think of a public toilet.
Oh, well, I mean, the first 40 minutes of the movie or so, you could almost mistake for one of his documentaries. It just
Yeah.
is very much you're watching him go about his job and his life. And I think that even though it doesn't sound very exciting, there is something about seeing how these magical water spring toilets and like, oh, they just turn a switch and all of a sudden it's not glass and see-through, it's opaque. There's something really cool about that.
Oh,
You
yeah.
like you go into like almost any bathroom in America and it's just like really gross and grungy, and like they
Yeah.
make it like a great work of architecture.
Yeah, and then you have this really devoted guy making sure every day people come to a clean toilet. I mean, there's something very like poetic about it, in an interesting way. It's not really a movie that offers closure or any kind of real message, I would say, aside from just what it's like to go through life and take your job seriously and find beauty in every day, because he keeps going back to this tree that he takes pictures of. That was a really good scene where he's so analog, he like takes it on film and gets it developed, and one of his hobbies is to go through the pictures that he take and like keep some and discard the others. So this quotidian of his existence is a big part of this, and I think some people who may be attuned to a different kind of movie might find this boring, but I didn't find it boring. It's very slow and it's very methodically sort of paced as it goes on. But the soundtrack is absolutely perfect. The performances are really, really good. And there's just beautiful photography of urban settings. And I guess the side of Tokyo I haven't necessarily seen depicted, because most of the time I think of Tokyo, at least besides like Ozu films or stuff like that, would mostly be like at night, sort of like crime movies.
Like Godzilla coming in,
Yeah,
maybe.
exactly. Or a
Well,
monster movie.
yeah. I mean, doesn't this make you just want to go fly to Tokyo and take a shit?
Yes, it does. I was like, I want to see that toilet. I want to be surprised like the American lady when it, no longer is transparent and you can use the restroom in peace. But yeah, I mean, Fender's, I wouldn't say he's like one of my favorite directors, but I really do love Paris, Texas and Wings of Desire. I think maybe you're not quite as high on Wings of Desire as I am, from what I remember.
Wings of Desire is a film I saw a 35 millimeter print of it about a year and a half ago. I just didn't get it. I don't think it's a
Yeah.
bad film. I just like you sometimes see a classic film and oh, this is a classic, supposed to be one of the director's best films, and you just go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And but I did watch Paris, Texas just in the last few weeks, and I thought that was wonderful. And
Yes.
I really like his film. Al is it Alice in the Cities, plural? Because they go to multiple cities, I think, or Alice in the
Oof.
City.
I don't know. Let's see the original German title.
I don't know German, but yeah,
Alice in the
I
Cities. Alice in den Städten. Yeah, Alice in the Cities.
yes. Have you seen any of those three Road trilogy films?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
He's
I
someone
recommend.
I want to see more of his movies, yeah, because he's a very influential director, and the ones I have seen, I really like very much.
Before we started recording, I was talking about I'll have all these lists of like directors of different movie list, and one of them I have is directors I've seen 10 or more films by, and Wim Wenders was put on the list now that I've seen Perfect Days.
Hey,
That was my 10th film of his I had seen.
there you go.
So yeah, I very much enjoyed this, and it's also one of those movies where it's rated PG, and it's 'cause like you see his butt like in the shower and like, but it's like totally, you could show the movie to a 12-year-old, you could show it to a 99-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not 12. Oh, I don't think a
12-year-old
12,
might have a hard time paying attention for the whole
a
time.
12, a little arty 12-year-old, like a arty film, a growing cineast, it would be an okay one. I mean, it wouldn't be inappropriate at least.
No, it would. And
Yeah.
yeah, I think if people were willing to give this a try and to be tolerant of a slower developing movie, I think most people would really like this, because it's a very beautiful movie, very human story, I think you could describe it as, and I think a very worthy nominee for Best Foreign Language Film from last year. Any closing thoughts, Jonathan?
We should go to Tokyo together and
Yeah.
reunite, re reenact the events in the film.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. It'd be an expensive reenactment, but I mean, I'm definitely on board. So our next movie was also a Best Foreign Language Feature nominee. Is that what it's called, or is it Best International Film? I keep forgetting this.
Best international feature film.
Best
And
International Feature Film.
the interesting of the year it changed to that was the year the only time so far a foreign language film won Best Picture, Parasite, and it
Well,
won that
there you go.
award.
So the next film is The Teacher's Lounge, Das Lehrerzimmer in German, if we want to use the original title, directed by Ilker Katak, who has previously directed I Was, I Am, I Will Be. It stars Léonie Binèche as a teacher who is tasked with finding out which of her students has been stealing from classmates and other teachers. Interactions lead to a crisis within the school. It originally premiered February 18th, 2023 in Berlin, and was released wide in the US this January. It has a Metacritic score of 82 and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 96. This was one of the most anxiety-inducing movies I've seen in quite some time. It made me very convinced I would not do very well in a setting teaching 12-year-olds full time. What was your reaction to The Teacher's Lounge, Jonathan?
Yeah, it fits into a category of non-thriller thrillers where it's not like car chases and bombs going off, but it's more gripping and more kind of anxiety-inducing than a lot of typical quote-unquote thrillers. It's a film also that's kind of a snowball film where people make decisions and in the moment they seem like they're justified or they're even good, and then it goes wrong and it gets worse and it snowballs, it gets worse and worse and worse, and it just keeps going. And if you jump to an hour and 10 minutes into the movie, you may think, oh, how could it get there? But it goes little by little and you believe where it goes, to the point where, you know, there's like small acts of violence and like glass being smashed. And I think that it's also it's a really interesting the way the film is shot. I think that both these two films are in full screen, which is rare for modern films to be shot in, they call it Academy ratio. But it gives this film a claustrophobia where you're following almost like a Darden Brothers film. There's a following the main character walking down these hallways. And there's also, it's really interesting, the production design of the film or just where they shot it, if
Yeah,
it's a
the
real
school they're
school.
at, yeah, looks
Where
totally unlike the
there's,
schools I went to.
you see all these hallways, and there's like glass, and there's like you get the sense of people like looking at you and judging you, and there's a sense that there is this claustrophobia. You're stuck in the school, but also that there are like people right over that wall that can hear you, or they
Yeah.
might be looking at you.
And
And I
everything
think,
you're doing is being judged and like taken notes on.
and except for one brief scene where a student runs out of the school, the whole film, it takes place in the school. I mean, there's like when we were kids thinking about, you know, do our teachers live at the school? Do they ever leave? It's like the film is very much a contained, I don't know if I'd say chamber piece, but there is, like I said, this claustrophobia to the film.
The
And
school is
I,
like a world unto itself, basically.
right. And I think that it's a film where there aren't any out and out villains, really. There's not any quote unquote like really bad people. It's people making questionable decisions sometimes. But it just is such an uncomfortable film too, in a good way, in a gripping way.
I
But
mean, and it's one of those ones where you don't really know what actually happened, what the truth is. You can
yeah.
get an idea of it, but some of the characters' reactions are so strong that you're like, did they really do it? Or like, is everything
Well,
just totally messed up?
in a way, it reminds me of Anatomy of a Fall, where it's not so important what actually happens, but it's the questioning of what is real, what is true. You know, Anatomy of a Fall, it's like an actual court case, but in this one, it's like within the confines of like a school system of like what are the rules and regulations, what are the what how would something go down like this. And there's something about the questioning of the role of a teacher and like how and there's something about, you know, there's a lot about class in the film and about kind of you know, how you relate with your students, you know. And it's I don't want to give away even like the too much of the plot, because I went into it knowing nothing at all. I didn't watch the trailer.
Same. And yeah, it's very much about like, I guess, the limits of idealism, because the main character, the teacher, at least as we're introduced to her, seems like she's just like the best teacher ever and wants the best for everyone, and her kids seem to really like her. And once she sort of starts to lose their trust, it all falls apart completely. And suddenly teaching seems like the hardest thing in the world. But it's an incredible lead performance by Lani Banesh. I think I saw her in The White Ribbon a long time ago. That must have been like 2008, 2009. I
Almost
don't
15
think I'd
years
seen
ago.
her in anything since then. And she really blew me away as the lead actor playing the teacher. Because I mean, you really need to believe in this person to sort of be taken on the ride and think that they want to do what's right. And just sometimes wanting to do what's right leads to really bad things for other people. So yeah, I think a thriller that's not really like about crime or super high stakes, even like the incident that sort of kicks everything off is pretty low stakes thing. I mean, it is a crime, but as far
Well,
as
I
crimes
will
go.
say this there, in case anyone is apprehensive, it's not anything sexual, and it's
No.
not there's no like school shooting, like violent thing. It's
No.
a small crime that someone is accused of, and the repercussions of how they go about trying to prove that
Yes.
this person may have been committing a crime.
And
But
then
I'll
it clashes, I guess, with the idealism of certain students as well, who think they have, freedom to information and, they maybe not should be able to get all the information while things are still up in the air, and there is sort of legal case that needs to be put through the certain correct avenues. So it was a real
There's like
kind
a
of
whole.
generational clash movie as well, where the kids are so sort of plugged into the internet and, have this sort of feeling of righteousness and wanting people to be held accountable to things they do wrong, and people who didn't do anything wrong to not be punished for those things. And yeah, it was just like, man, the schools in Germany are crazy. But I really like this movie. I think it's probably an easier sell than Perfect Days for most people, because it is like it moves pretty fast, I think I'd say.
It's just over 90 minutes, which is
Yeah,
rare.
yes. And man, I was like so in this movie while I was watching it. I was just like, I hope nothing really bad happens, but I'm worried that it will.
Oh, and another thing about it being like a non-thriller thriller is that the whole time you're worried that something more drastic than anything actually does happen might
Yes.
happen.
Yes. So there's just so much tension built up in
Yes.
this movie.
And it's just, and I think this is true, especially for us English speakers, Americans, with foreign films. A lot of times they just feel so realistic compared
Yeah.
to, like, especially like mainstream Hollywood movies. Like, this feels like when you say the performances feel so naturalistic. I mean, partially it's because we don't know the language,
And we don't know the
but
actors, so we really believe them in their roles.
I think that, and the kids are all just like, it's one of those films where the kids don't feel at all like, little Disney Channel kids. They feel
No.
like,
Like real kids.
I know it's one of those where like I wouldn't be shocked if I found out that some of them were just actually people that went to the school where they filmed, or they're
Yeah.
just, non-actors. I actually saw this with one of my elementary school teachers that I've been Facebook
Whoa.
friends with. It was really interesting talking about it with her. She's retired now, but hearing her perspective and how she said one of the big differences she felt, she has been retired for a number of years now, but in Germany, she felt like the students were a little bit more, they talked back more than they would in America.
Yeah.
I
Maybe
think
that's
it's
also a generational thing as well, though.
right. I mean, you didn't used to have like students, like ever use profanity or,
No.
flip a teacher off or something. I mean, you still supposedly would get in trouble today if you did that.
But yeah, I mean, she just like cares so much about her kids that I think she allows them to feel like they can express themselves in ways that maybe they wouldn't feel comfortable around with other teachers. And that ends up not necessarily being a good thing as the movie goes on.
Right. She
But yeah.
tries to be like the cool, because she's fairly young. She's trying to be cool and hip and
Yeah.
But there's also a sense too, even in the early scenes, there is something a little bit rigid about her. There's something a little bit by the books, and she's trying to do the right thing and be the good teacher, and that kind of comes to haunt her. this small decision that she makes.
Yeah.
And
But
there's
yeah.
all these re repercussions too. It's also interesting how it's a film. I don't ever remember there being a reference to COVID or anyone wearing masks, but one of the key bits of plot, I feel like, wouldn't necessarily have come about pre-pandemic.
I think that's probably true. Yeah.
You know what
People
I'm
are much
saying?
more. Yes, I do. But yeah, I love this. I think this was one of my favorite movies I've seen this year so far. Technically not a 2024 movie, so won't be appearing on any end of year top tens, but
It's one of those that falls into the middle,
the
it's
liminal
like,
space, as people
I
like to
know.
say.
I one that was very high on my list. I don't think you ever saw it, Saint-Omer, which is coming out in the Criterion Collection, or might have just come
That's
out
a
recently.
trial movie, right?
Yeah, that was a very good film, and I saw that right at the beginning of 2023. But it kind of technically came out. Also, this is really random. You know, with the Oscars, the nominee for best used to be called for decades foreign language film, but now best international feature film. It's not when it gets released in the United States. It doesn't matter. It's when it comes out in its home country. So there actually have been times in the history of the Oscars where something has been nominated in 2 different years, where it was nominated for best foreign language film, and then a year or two later, it gets nominated for like best costumes.
Whoa,
But
that
I
is
don't know
definitely an
why.
interesting Oscars tidbit.
I know, like, for example, one of the nominees for best international feature film this year, I Capitone, really was just released in the US early this year in 2024. So theoretically, that I think could ha be nominated in any other category except best international feature film. Like, if you go back and look at some of like the Bergman and Fellini movies,
Yeah.
there are some that were nominated and even won best international feature film, and then like 2 or 3 years later it gets nominated for like best screenplay or
Or
best
production design
act.
or something.
Like Rashomon is nominated, like, well, it was given an honorary Oscar the year it came out in Japan, and then like 2 years, 3 years later it's nominated for costumes. But I don't think that's d been done in a long time,
I
because the
can't
more it
think of any,
works,
yeah.
yeah. But because usually if something gets heat with the Oscars, they go ahead and release it by the end of the
Yeah,
year,
it
even
gets
if
a
it's like,
distributor in the US.
right.
But yeah, we both really love The Teacher's Lounge. One of the great non-thriller thrillers, I
Well,
think, is the perfect way to describe it.
I like the film. Yeah, I would
You think I liked it a little more?
I like Perfect Days a little more than The Teacher's Lounge, I
I
think.
think I like Teacher's Lounge a bit more. The next one was a very interesting theatrical experience for me. There was a lot more audience interaction than I expected. The next movie
Let me
is
guess. Well, let me guess. Would you venture to guess that almost everyone in the audience was 50 or older?
yes, and majority female as well.
Okay.
At least the people who were exclaiming during the movie were. The movie is The Taste of Things, directed by Trond Ann Hung, who has previously directed Eternity in Norwegian Wood, which I think was that a Japanese language movie, Norwegian
I'm not
Wood?
sure. I
I
actually
remember when it
watched
came
one of
out.
his movies just at the end of last year,
But
before this one came
a
out.
Vietnam-born director who is, I think, relocated to France. This is very much a French movie. It was their submission for Best International Feature, which caused some controversy because many felt that Anatomy of a Fall deserved to be nominated instead. But I don't think that's necessarily this movie's fault. It's like one of those things with Ordinary People and Raging Bull or
How
something
Green
like
Was
that.
My Valley, and
Yeah.
yes.
It stars icon of French cinema, I think it's fair to say, Juliette Binoche, and Benoît Magimel, who was her partner for some time, but I think they were no longer together when this film was made. It is set in
Yes.
1889,
I
and
wanted to add a star of my third favorite film of last year, and the winner of the César Award for Best Actor for the film Pacifiction.
well,
So he had a
there you
good
go.
2023.
No, he did. Big
Yes.
year for him. It's like Chalamet this last 8 months. Set in 1889, the film depicts the romance between a cook and the gourmet that she works for in like a beautiful, a stately home in somewhere in France. It originally premiered May 24th, 2023 at the Cannes Film Festival and was released wide in the US February 9th, 2024. A Metacritic score of 85 and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 97. I think this is maybe like the number one food porn movie I've ever seen. There's so much of this movie is just them cooking and looking at like the amazing things when it's actually finished, and people even in the movie reacting like, oh my God, it's amazing. And so many times during the movie, people in the crowd just like went, oh, or, oh my God, it's so beautiful that it ended up actually being a pretty fun theatrical experience. And that's not something you get when you watch it at home, just as a reminder for everyone
No.
why it's great to see things in theaters.
Yes.
But what did you think of The Taste of Things, Jonathan?
Yes, I thought it was a gorgeous in the cinematography and the lighting and the production design of the recreation of the period detail, the costumes, all that. And then you add like the hottest, sweatiest, sexiest food stuff, but what's really interesting, it would make like the longest double feature ever, but it's interesting it came out the same year as one of my top 10 films of last year, the 4-hour Frederick Wiseman film Menu Plaisir Trace Turquoise, or however you say it. So it'd be 16 hours and 15 minutes watching these two together, because
Wow.
this one's 2 hours and 15 minutes. But
Yeah.
I actually, if I wanted to, I could have actually seen them as a double feature at the New York Film Festival, but I thought that's just too much. Like, you can't, even if I was fully fed, I don't think you could take that much food porn. You would like,
No. Yeah.
no. But and it's almost denigrating the film to call it food porn, because it's so
Well, yeah,
luscious
it's
and.
and also like a very quiet sort of romance story about people, I guess, in their autumn years, you'd say, I guess, discovering feelings for each other. It's one of those ones where I'm very interested to like know what their lives had been like before what we see in the movie, because I feel like what we get is just a very small sort of part of their relationship together. And I was not like confused, but like curious and slightly mystified as to what this world they operate in really is, because it never seems like the guy makes food for lots of people besides like him and his friends, but he's known like internationally as one of the great chefs in the world. Like a big part of it is he has this wager with a sheik or prince, something like that, about he has his chef make stuff for him, and then he wants to make something for the prince, which is a pot au feu, which is like a very, it's sort of like ratatouille. It's like making a peasant's dish, but as upscale as you could do it. So I was just like, what world is this that these people live in? It is like so mysterious to me. But I interrupted you, Jonathan. You can go on.
Well, in a way, it reminds me of something like In the Mood for Love, where it's like this really achingly romantic, beautiful film where there's like, they virtually like don't even touch each other in the
No.
movie. Or, it's like it's rated PG-13 in a way, like Perfect Days, because like you briefly see Juliette Binoche's like bare backside as she's bathing. You know, it's like this movie, if it weren't for like, 90 seconds, probably could be rated G almost. I
Yeah.
mean, it's like, it's this like really beautiful romantic movie, but it's like it's all in the longing and the thinking about what could be. And it actually is based on a novel, and I've heard that it kind of gives more a story. It kind of fills in more. Yeah, I mean, it's a really old novel. The author died in 1936, so
Well,
it may
almost
be.
like the first half hour of this movie is just them preparing, cooking, serving, and consuming. What is it, like an 8-course meal?
Yes.
So
And
I
I have
didn't
never
necessarily,
seen.
I haven't seen too many movies that like start off like that, I'll just sort of say. So at one point, I was kind of like, what's going on?
Well, I haven't seen any of it. I want to. It's on my long list of TV shows to watch, but I've
Oh,
heard
the bear.
that some of The Bear is like
Yeah.
uncut gems and that it's anxiety inducing. And this is like the opposite of that. It's like you
Yes.
just relax, and it's like there's like no tension or I mean, there's just, like you said, people in the audience were going like, ooh, ah, and there's something soothing about. I mean, it's also, the category of there's something really, in a weird way, it connects with Perfect Days. There's something really pleasing about watching people do a job really well on
Yes.
screen.
Yes. And especially a job that like you have no idea about. And you know, it's not like I learned anything about cooking from this movie, really, but just seeing how proficient these people are, especially with the technology available to them. Like, there's a cool scene where they make baked Alaska, which I could imagine in 1889 would have just been like the greatest thing you could possibly ever get. Because ice cream, I don't think, was super, you know, available to people at that time. And like the way they store it and all the different techniques they make. And it's one of those ones where it's like, wow, I really want to take up cooking. Like, it looks so great.
I
But
know.
yeah,
It's like Teacher's Lounge makes you not want to teach grade school students. Perfect Days makes you want to go take a shit in Tokyo. This one makes you want to fall in love and have an 8-course meal in France.
yeah, basically, yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, much more relaxing movie than Teacher's Lounge. Yeah, I think this could be a good one, yeah, to just sort of put on and give yourself over to. And it's not all like great things and happiness. There is some tragedy in it, but I think overall this is pretty crowd pleasing, kind of positive movie. I really liked it. I think it's a shame it's gotten kind of a bad rep because of the French, whoever is in charge of deciding who they submitting this over and
The
out of their
country
control.
should not choose. The Academy should choose what the film is, because sometimes countries pick things for political reasons.
Which it seemed like
And
was the case for this one.
right, it had nothing to do with the taste of things. It was because the Justine Triet, the writer director of Anatomy of Fall, had said some things critical of Macron and the French government. And so, you know, it's like there's 1 point difference on Metacritic between the taste of things and Anatomy of a Fall. And so it's like, you know, it's not like this is a lovely film too. I also think, like, I don't think it's crazy. I mean, I understand why they do it. Like, what if they nominated two films from the same country? Like, it should
Yeah,
just
what's
be like,
wrong with that?
what if like two of like legitimately of the absolute best films of the year are both French or both German 1 year?
Yeah, it
Yeah,
is an
but
odd category. Yeah.
yeah, I do think that this is a movie where, you know, a majority of people that would see it would be AARP
Yes,
members or
absolutely. Yeah.
applicable for that distinction.
Yes.
You know, it's not like a lot of people would be rushing out to see this in their late teens and early 20s unless they're
Yeah.
film geeks.
Making TikToks on making pot a few from the taste of
Yeah,
things.
it's like when the John Gielman won the distinction of being the number one sight and sound, like someone posted a fake thing of like a film bro like doing a reaction video where it's like, oh my gosh, you know. So I don't think there's going to be like reaction video. Well, it
You
actually
could with the
probably.
food though. You'd be like, man, that is so sick.
Yeah.
But yeah, all three, I think, very good international features. Two directors I know much less than the other one. Wim Wenders is like a real elder statesman, great artist of the medium. And I'm interested in seeing more of the movies by the other two directors. But I think thumbs up for all three, right, Jonathan?
Yes, and I think that we are officially gonna not review any more movies.
Released in 2023.
I know we've run out of movies. Oh, there's always movies to review, but we're on to totally 2024 films now.
Yeah, there we go. So thank you for listening, and we will be back next time.